Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Chav Zayin. And we have four lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chav Vav Amid Beis Amir Reb Ami. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Acheinu B'nei Yisrael Hanasunu Matzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel, Ita Tziril Bas Sheva Rikol, and Rebin Tzion Ben Hadassa Chasya. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Shloima Chai David Yitzchak, Ben Reb Avram. So we're moving along in Perek Yesh Noichlin, dealing with the laws of Nachlos. Now, as it relates to today's daf, so the daf is really going to be a tale of two sugyas. The first half of the daf is going to discuss halachos related to a tumtum and adreginus, the first halacha, and one of the subsequent halachas is going to relate to the laws of Nachlois, but in general, the topic of the first part of the daf is going to be dinim related to the tumtum and adreginus. The second half of the daf is going to discuss halachas related to the bechar, specifically a father's nemanos, or lack thereof, to tell us that it's this one of his sons that is his oldest. He's the Bechar. He's the one that's entitled to Pishnaim. Says the Gemara. Amar Rab Ami. Rab Ami said, Tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar. In the event that there is a tumtum and it was unclear whether this tumtum is a zachar or an akeva. Now, what's the metzias of a tumtum? The metzias of a tumtum is where a child is born and there's skin, ba'osei makom, which is covering the identity of this child. So we don't know whether this child is a zachar or whether this child is a keva. That's in contrast to an adroginus who is also in halacha treated as a safik zachar, safik nekeva, but the mitzias of the Safik is that that child has the simonim both of a zachar and an akeva. So a tumtum and an adroginus, they always come together. They're both Safik zachar, Safik nekeva. But the mitzias is different. The tumtum, we don't know whether the child is a zachar or an akeva. How could you not know? Because there's oir, this skin that's covering oisei makom. An adroginus, we don't know because the adroginus has both simonim. The adroginus has the simonim both of a zachar and of a nekeva. Rav Andi's halacha, and really most of the halachas we're going to learn right now, are negeya the tumtum, not negeya the adroginus. So Rav Andi said, what would be if a child was born and the child was a tumtum, meaning we did not know whether this child was a zachar or a nekeva. And then afterwards, nikra, something tore. What tore? The ur that was covering oisei makom tore. The nimtza zachar, and lo and behold, this child is a zachar. So Rav Ami said a chiddush that even though now that it was nikra the ur, it's a gloy milsel afreya that this child was always a zachar. Obviously, einoi noitel pishnayim. The halacha is that this child is not treated like a bechar, assuming it was the oldest, to get pishnayim. And the Makarta, this is the Amakra, it says in the Pasuk, regarding the Yerusha of a Bechar, Vahoya Habein HaBechar Lasnia, and we learn from the juxtaposition, from the word Vahoya to Habein, Achi Yehei Bein Mishas Havaya, that the son that wants to collect the Pishnayim would have to have been a son Vahaya, from the Shas Havaya. The Rashbam says the Shas Havaya is the Shas Leda. So if you knew that this child was a ben at the time of the Leda, then he can get Pishnayim. If, however, it was unclear at the time of the Leda, and even though unclear just based on a lack of information that we had, it doesn't matter. If to us it was unclear, that's enough to say that this child will not be able to get Pishnayim. So really, if you think about it, Rav Ami is saying two chiddushim. One is a more obvious chiddush, and the other one is a more mechudush tege chiddush. The first chiddush is that a tumtum is not entitled to Pishnayim. A ben gets Pishnayim, a bas does not get Pishnayim. What about a tumtum? Zakh Rav Ami, al rishon rishon, a tumtum does not get Pishnayim. Additionally, and this is the much bigger chiddush, Rav Ami says that even if it's a gloy milsa later, that this tumtum was really a ben all along, so it's a regular ben. we didn't know at the time that it was born. Okay, that's just the lack of information that we had. But at the end of the day, this was clearly a boy. Afilu hachi, this exeris akasav, v'hoya haben, it has to be nicker that this child is a ben, mishas havoya, which means mishas leida. And if it wasn't that way, then the halach is that this child is not going to get pishnayim. What about an adroigenis? So the Rashbam says that's pashit. An adroigenis is also not going to get pishnayim. In fact, the lashon of the Rashbam is the kol shekein adroigenis. And the reason it's a kol shekein is she'ein sveikoy asid lihivada. An adroigenis, you're never going to have the second chiddush. The only chiddush you're going to ever have is that first chiddush. And that first chiddush is more obvious. So really what Ravami is saying regarding the tumtum is a bigger chiddush. And for sure, whatever Rav Ami said regarding the tumtum is going to relate to the adroigenis as well. Either way, so Rav Ami said a chiddush, that's negeya the sugis that we're learning. What are we learning? Geish Neuchlin. Specifically, the halachis that a bechor is noita pishnayim, but only a boy. What about a tumtum? Okay, tumtum is a suffix. But what about a tumtum where it was nisbar later that this tumtum was a boy all along? Afilu hachina. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said a very similar chiddush. Af enoi nidoin keben soirer umayr. What would be if someone had a child, and this child was a tumtum, and then this child wasn't behaving. In fact, wasn't behaving to the point that it was able to check off all the boxes, the prerequisites, to be a ben soirer umayr. The problem is that in order to be a ben soirer umayr, you have to be a ben. There's no such thing as a bas soirer umayr. This child was a tumtum soirer umayr. So misafik, presumably, you're not going to kill the child, right? It's not going to be subject to the laws of ben soirer umayr. But what would be if afterwards it was nikra and it was nimtza zachar? So right now, with this child be treated like a ben soirer umayr or not? You would think logically, yeah. Said Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, very similar chiddush to Rav Ami, said that no, this child is not nidin ke ben soirer umayr, and it's based on a very similar drasha. The Amakra, it says in the parasha ben soirer umayr, ki yeh le'ish ben soirer umayr, and we learn ki yeh le'ish ben, that it has to be a ben from the time of yeh, achi yeh ben b'shas havoya. So if at the time of the leida we know that this child was a ben soirer umayr, so then this halacha is going to apply, but otherwise this child will not be a ben soirer umayr. Amemer said a third chiddush, and this chiddush is negeya hilchas nachlis again. So we go from nachlis to ben soirer umayr back to nachlis. Af inu memayit chelik b'chayra, in the event that somebody has a child that's a tumtum, now this tumtum was not the b'char, so there was a regular Bechar. And then, somewhere along the way, this person had a child, and this child was a tumtum. So Amemar said, that tumtum is not going to be memayit the chelek ha-bechayra. It's not going to reduce the chelek ha-bechayra that the Bechar gets. Shenemar, and it's learned out from, again, a similar pasuk. It says, regarding the Yerusha of the Bechar, v'yoldu loy vanim ha-ahuva v'hasnua. Now, that pasuk is talking about the banim, meaning sai the bechar, but even the pasha, the one that's not a bechar, that yarshins together with the bechar, and we learn from there, achi e ben b'shas leida, that the only time one of the other children would be memayed from the chelek ha-bechayra, again, this pasuk's not talking exclusively about the bechar, the yodu lei banim is all the children. The only time it's memayed is if it's again, v'yoldu banim, it's a ben mishas leida, then and only then would it be memayit. Now, what's that halacha? Just to come up for breath for 1 second. Now, we're going to get back to this in the raid, so we'll go through it a little bit more thoroughly, be'ezus Hashem, at the end of the daf. But just in terms of understanding Pashup Shat in what Amemar is saying, so the Rashbam says that emshalach ha-mashal, I'll explain it to you with a mashal. There was a person that had 3 children. He had a son that was a bechar. Then he had a son that was not a bechor, the pashut. And then he had a 3rd son that was a tumtum. He died. He left over a Yerusha. And kol nichsei ha'av, all the nechasim of the father was tisha manim. It was 9 manim. So let's say he left over $900. So he left over 3 sons, a bechor, a pashut, and a tumtum. He also left over $900. Now, if you ask the man on the street, how are you supposed to divide this Yerusha? He would say, it's very simple. This man left over 3 sons. One of them is a Bechar. So you divide the Yerusha not into 3, but you divide it into 4, right? Because the Bechar is going to get Pishnayim. 9 divided by 4 is 2 1/4. The Bechar gets 2 Chalakim. That's his Pishnayim. So he gets 4.5. And the other 2 sons are going to end up getting 2 1/4. Now, the tumtum could be is not going to yarshin because the tumtum is really a safik zachar, safik nekeva. So, misafik, hamoitzim echaveri olivaraya, it's not so pashut he would yarshin. But let's add another knitch just to keep this a little bit simple. It's talking about where it was nisbar afterwards that this tumtum was really a zachar, like Rav Ami and Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's case. So, now we know for sure it was 3 sons, but one of them was a tumtum mishas leida. Oh, so now for sure all 3 of them are going to yarshin. You would take the 9 divided by 4, give the Bechar 2 chalakim, and the other 2 are going to get 1 chalak each. Kumtze zogin ameymar, and ameymar said that that's not what you do. But rather, what you do is, when you cheshbin the Bechar, you don't include the tumtum into your algorithm, into your calculation. So that from the chalak ha-Bechar perspective, not the entire Yerusha that the Bechar is going to get, but the Pishnaim, that double portion, the double, that part, the Bechar Chelik that the Bechar gets, you're going to end up only cheshbening as if there were 2 sons there, not as if there were 3 sons there. So what would be if somebody died, left over a Bechar and a Pashut, and he left over 9 manim? So then you would take the Yerusha and you would divide it into 3. There's only 2 sons, I know, but there's a Pishnaim. So you have to divide it into 3. The 3 are 3, 3, 3. That's easier math than dividing 9 by 4. You would give the Bechar 2 chalakim, which means he would get 6. And you would give the Pashit 1 chalak. Now, there's not 2 sons, there's really 3 sons. What we're saying is that we only cheshbon the 3rd son as it relates to the chalak ha-Pashit that the Pashut's getting and that the Bechar is getting, but you don't cheshbon the 3rd son as it relates to the Chelek HaBechar that the Bechar is getting. So what we then would say is that as it relates to the double portion we look at as if there's only 2 sons. What would the double portion be if there was 2 sons? It would be 3, right? It would be 3, 3, 3, and the Bechar would get 2/3, one of them being the Chelek HaPashut and the other one being the Chelek HaBechar. So he would end up getting 3. And then you would take the balance, 9 minus 3, which is 6, you would divide it by 3, because there's really 3 sons, and you would give each one of the sons 1 chelak, 1/3 of it, so that the Bechar would end up getting 5. And that's what Ameimar's chiddush is. So what Ameimar's saying is that when we say that the tumtum is somehow excluded from Yerushas HaBechar based on Gzeres HaKosav, it's not only that the tumtum shenigra can himself get the Pishnayim, but in addition to that, af also einim emayit chelak HaBechar. So that when it comes to cheshbening the chelak HaBechar, we act as if he's not there. And Chapsa Nafkemina, in the Rashbam's case, is the Bechar going to end up getting 4.5, which is what he would have gotten without Ameimar's chiddush, or is he going to get 5? Again, do the math based on what Ameimar said. Again, we're going to get back to this a little bit later. Rav Shizbi said, "Af eino nima l'shmoina." In the event that you have a child that was born a tumtum, and then afterwards it was nigra and was inspired that this child was really a zachar, and now it has to have a bris mila, right? It has to be nichlas b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. And it turned out that the yoyim hashmini of this child was on Shabbos. So we know mila b'zmanoi is doicha Shabbos. Stating that, Rav Shizbi said that af eino nima l'shmoina, the amak rabbi, because the pasuk says, "Icha kisaz." And we learn from here, so again, Isha Kisazria Viyolda Zachar, and then the pasuk continues and says, Ubayoy Mashmini Yimo. Now the truth is that the Gemara skipped a few words. Dad Rabbi Yisrael Leimar, Isha Kisazria Viyolda Zachar. First it says, Vitama Shinvas Yamim, Kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma, and then afterwards it says, Ubayoy Mashmini Yimo Psara Lase. Rev Shizbi said, it doesn't matter. The Isha Kisazria Viyolda is going also on Bayoy Mashmini Yimo, and we learn from there, Yolda. That if we knew for sure the child was a zachar at the time of the leida, that's when you have the halacha of b'yom hashmini yimol psara lasay l'rabbis, even on Shabbos. If however not. So it sounds like that for sure this child is going to have mila b'shmini. The chiddush that Rav Shizbi is saying is that it's mila b'shmini is not toicha Shabbos. And by the way, from the words of b'yom hashmini yimol psara lasay is how we know that Mila Bizmanu is Doicha Shabbos. So what we're saying is when it's Ijik, he says, Riva Yolda Zachar, where at the time of the Leida, you know the child is a Zachar, so that's when you have that halacha, that's learned out from the words of Bayem HaShmini Yimo, that the Mila Bizmanu is going to be Doicha Shabbos. Rav Shavi said another Chiddush. Af Ein Imoy Tmeyo Leida. That in the event that you have a mother that gives birth to a tumtum. So the halacha is that the mother of this child is not going to be tamei tumas leida, and even if afterwards it was nikrav and imtza zachar, it doesn't matter. You're not going to have tumas leida. By the way, the Rashbam says even if it would be nikra afterwards and it would be nimtza nekeva, you're also not going to have tumas leida. The halacha is that if somebody gives birth to such a child, you're not going to have tumas leida. How do I know that? Amakra, it says ichiki sazria again v'yolda zachar. And then afterwards it says, V'tomo shivas yamim. And we learn from here, Ad she'ei zachar mishas leida. And the same is true for nekeva. So the only time that is going to be tumas leida is going to be in the event that you know right away if the child is a zachar or nekeva. But if you don't know if the child is a zachar or nekeva, the child is a tumtum. Even if later it's nizbarer of the zachar of the keva, it doesn't matter. Either way, the halach is that this mother is not going to be tamei tumas leida. Now, this next few lines of Gemara, the Gemara is going to get into tumas leida, albeit very, very briefly. So just quickly, what's the basic halachas of Yoyledes? So the Torah says that a woman that gives birth to a child, the halacha, she becomes tame. Tame, tumas Yoyledes. Very similar to tumas nida, but the tumas is really not tumas nida. The tumas is tumas Yoyledes. How long is she tame? It depends on whether the child that was born was a zachar or in a kefa. In the event that the child was a zachar, so the halacha is she's tamei 7 days, tumas yoledes. Afterwards, the Torah says a chiddush that any dam that she sees for the subsequent 33 days is actually considered not dam tamei, but it's actually considered dam tahar. So that even though she sees dam and it's coming from the makar, which for sure should make her tameh, afilu hachi, that dam is dafke not going to be dam tameh, that dam is going to be dam tahar. So the way we look at it is we create this 40-day period. The first 7 days, the dam is dam tameh. The next 30 days, any dam that she sees is going to be dam tahar. Now this is true if she's a yold or zachar. What if she's a yold in a kevus, and then the numbers double? So then the yimei tumah are not 7 days, they're 14 days, shivuayim, and the yimei toyar is not 33 days, but rather it ends up being 66 days. Either way, says the Gemara Meisve, so the Gemara asks the kasha on Rav Shravya. It's like, what did Rav Shravya say as it relates to the laws of a tumtum? That af ein yimei tmei aleda, and even if later it was nikra of an imtza zachar, or it was nikra of an imtza nekeva, it doesn't matter. The halach is that the mother's not going to be tame. The Gemara says, I'll ask you a kasha. How my perilous tumtum adroiganis. If a woman gave birth to a child that was a tumtum adroiganis, teshev lezachar ule nekeva. So the halach is that being that the child was a safik zachar, safik nekeva. So sveikadei raisa, you have to go to chumra, and she now has to take on the tzada chumra. She has to be machmer, maybe it was a zachar. She has to be machmer that maybe it was in a cave. Now, what's the chumrah if it's a zachar? The chumrah if it's a zachar is that the dam toyar is only going to be up until day 40. Any dam that she sees after dam day 40 is already going to be regular dam nita. She's going to be tummy. What's the chumrah of nikeva? Oh, that's easy. That she's tummy for the first 14 days. She's not only tummy for the first 7 days. But the point is that she has to be teshev lezachar ul nikeva. So essentially what's going to happen is she's going to be tummy for 14 days. Because the first 14 days, maybe the baby was in a keva, so it's dam tame. And then from day 15 until day 40, any dam that she sees is going to be dam toya, because memonav shach, this dam is dam toya. Why memonav shach? Because it doesn't matter if it was a zachar in a keva, either way. And then from day 41 until the meshech of the yemei toya of a keva, then already it's going to be tameh because maybe the child was really a zachar. So the point, though, is that you see that amapelos tumtum vajoyganis, we don't say, oh, ein ima tmei aleda. To the contrary, we're machmer, and we say teichel zachar lekeva. According to Rav Shravya, this whole thing is not negeya, because being that it was a tumtum, samemela misafik, there's no tome at all. So the Gemara says, this is such a compelling question, tiufta de Rav Shravya tiufta, checkmate. This is 100% a tiufta. Freit Gemara, lemet yavi tiufta de Rav Shizbi. Is this also a tiufta on Rav Shizbi? What did Rav Shizbi say? Rav Shizbi was the one that said, Af enoi nimo l'shmoina. Okay, so he was talking about Bris Mila. He wasn't talking about Tumas Leda. So how could he ask a kasha from a sugi in Tumas Leda onto a halacha regarding Mila b'shzmanoi, whether it's doicha Shabbos, the Teretz is because they were both darshaning the same pasuk. Rav Shizbi's drasha and Rav Shravia's drasha both came from the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Isha ki Tazria v'yolda zachar v'tomer shivas yomim. That's one halacha. U'b'yemesh minim b'sar alasi. That's the second halacha. So if we darshan that pasuk to tell me prat l'tumtum with regards to the mila component, then l'chari you should have to darshan it with regards to the tumas leida component as well. And if that's the case, just like there's a tiyuf that the Rav Shravia argues the Gemara, maybe it's also a tiyuf that, so for sure tiyuf that the Rav Shravia, that's not negotiable. Or believe it, you have a tiyuf that the Rav Shizbi. Meaning, do we have to assume that if Rav Shravia's halacha was not there, Rav Shizbi's halacha was not there as well? The Gemara says no, it's not muchach. Why? A very simple cheshman. Tanas fukim esafkale. Because Rav Shizbi could always tell you that maybe it's a safik. Maybe the Tana of that Mishnah that you want to frag me up from, maybe really he was Mesopik Ulachumra. And what he was saying was Lachumra. Meaning, La'olam, I'll tell you that when I said that there's no Mila b'Zmanoi on Shabbos for a Tumtum, I didn't mean it b'Teiris Vadai. Because I know with 100% certainty that the Pasuk of Ichaki Sasriva Yolda Zachris Achei Zachar Meshas Leida. Maybe really, when I said it, I only said it misafik. And misafik, therefore, I held that you have to be machmer and you can't do mila on Shabbos, right? Mila on Shabbos involves chil Shabbos. So it's not a hefkevel to just go ahead and do mila b'Shabbos. That's why we have a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that mila is doicha Shabbos. And oh, by the way, it's only mila b'zmanoi that's doicha Shabbos. Mila shaloi b'zmanoi is takin, not doicha Shabbos, because I don't have a pasuk for mila shaloi b'zmanoi. So misafik, I hold that maybe being that it could be the tumtum is a smite from that pasuk, so therefore it's not going to be okay. But if it all it is misafik, well, that would explain the Mishnah Nida, because I'm apelos tumtum v'adroigin is teishel v'zachar in the keva, that's also misafik. So misafik don't do bris mila, misafik also teishel v'zachar in the keva. So that's good to have done me not, because what I'm saying is misafik, you don't see not that way from that halacha apelos tumtum v'adroigin is, because la'ilam I'll tell you that halacha was also misafik. So if I can't, where Rav Shizbi is saying, and that halacha mapelas tumta v'adroigin is teicha l'zachar l'keva is saying is really the same thing, that we have a safik and therefore misafik you have to go l'chumra. L'chumra the mila is not teicha Shabbos. L'chumra teicha l'zachar l'keva. And Rav Shravia was a tufta, because what was Rav Shravia saying? Rav Shravia wasn't saying a chumra. Rav Shravia was saying a kula. He said af ein ima tmeya leida. There's no tumas leida. That's ein l'cha kula gedoy l'mizu. That's also a kula that's blatantly contradicted by the halacha ma'apelos tum tevad dragon is teishav lezach in a keva. So the Gemara says for sure tiyufta de Rav Shravia tiyufta leima tiyavi tiyufta de Rav Shizbi. The Gemara says there's no hechrich that there's a tiyufta de Rav Shizbi, because it could be Rav Shizbi means misafik, the Tana also means misafik. Misafik, he always going to go lechumra, and as a result, really, it could be there is no machloikis at all. But the Gemara says, "Ihachi ebazoi." If this Tana of Amapelos Tumta Vadroiganis Teshev Lezocher and Lekeva meant everything that it said, Misafik, meaning really didn't know. The Tana doesn't know. The Tana is Misopik what? Misopik whether we should treat this child that was born as a Zachar. If we should treat this child as an akeva, right? That's for sure. Teisha lezachar and akeva. But also a third possibility. Maybe really this child is not tame at all, which is based on the drasha of Isha ki Sazria, the yolda zachar, achi zachar mishas leida, achi nakeva mishas leida. And the whole teisha lezachar and akeva is merinet misafi. But all this is a safi. And the reason there's no tiyufta on Rav Shizbi, because Rav Shizbi is also misafi. Meaning, this is all one big suffix. If that's the case, that means there's three possibilities. In the case of a mapelas tumta v'adroiganis, maybe the child was a zacher, maybe the child was in a keva, and maybe this child is none of the above, in the sense that from a pure halachic perspective, we don't view the child as a zacher or as in a keva, ad kedekach, that there's not going to be any tumah at all. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, then the Tana should have mentioned another possibility. Tana should have said, Teishin v'zachar, ulenekeva, ulenida mibayle. Yosha should have thrown at the possibility of nida. What does that mean? That means if a woman has a child and then sees dam. So that dam is dam yoledes, which is either dam tomei or it's dam tahar, right? Depending on zachar, nekeva, all those sugyas. If, however, a woman does not have a child and has dam from the makar, well, then that dam is not dam tome, it's not dam tor, it's dam nida. Dam nida comes with the laws of zav, etc., etc. Right? That's a whole different shulchan aruch. And the Tana didn't seem to even cheshbon there. When the Tana said, "Amapelos tumtim vajoyginis," what did the Tana say? We're for sure handling tumas yoyledes. My shayla is it zacher nikeva? Tos teshev lozacher nikeva. You take the chumra of nikeva that she's tome 2 weeks, and you take the chumra of zacher. They only have 33 days of yemei tayhar. There's another possibility. However, if you're going to tell me that maybe this child is not considered a child at all as it relates to Yoledes, so maybe then the dam is dam nida, and you have to cheshbon all the dam nida possibilities, right? That's a whole mesechta, a very complicated mesechta that gets involved in that. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the Tana really was willing to entertain the chiddush of Rav Shizbi, so then he shouldn't have just mentioned 2 possibilities, he should have mentioned 3 possibilities. Now, if you want to go into this a little bit more, Be'in, all you have to do is learn the Rashbam. He sends you to Masechtas Nida. But again, that's not really our sugya. All we need to know is that if we Neman, there's a Vaday child over here, and there's Vaday Tumas Leida, the Shai Lezacher in the Keva, then I understand what the Tana is saying when he says Teichel Lezacher in the Keva. But if you tell me the Tana is willing to hear Rav Shizbi, send the street stardom, it's Teichel Lezacher in the Keva, you should also have to Cheshben Nida. And the Gemara says Kasha. And the Chanami, the Rashbam says, Kasha always means that there is a teretz, but it's just a little bit forced, and as a result, the Gemara doesn't want to get into it. What's the forced teretz that you could say here? So the Rashbam says, you could always be Magia the Brice. You could always say, Anachin Amitesh, Lezachar, Lenekeva, Ulanida. And obviously, if that's the case, you're not going to have any kashas. The bottom line is that the daf began with a whole bunch of chidushim that are me'inyan le'inyan ba'oseinyan. And that is, someone had a child, the child was a tumtum. So at the time, we don't know if the child is a zachar and a keva. Why? Because there's ur that's covering oisemachim. Afterwards, the ur was nikra. And then it was nizbar that this child is a zachar, or in some of the cases, an akeva. The Amiram said that you would think, oh, it's Pasha. It was inspired, the child is a Zachar. Oh, for sure, the child is a Zachar. So apply the whole Shulchan Aruch of a Zachar now to this child. No, it's not Pasha. Rav Ami said, if this child was the Bechor, this child's not getting Pishnai, based on a Pasuk. Oh, yeah, it has to be a Ben B'Shah Savat. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, this child will never be a Ben Sayyir Umayr. Amemar said, if this child was a Poshut in the Yesh Neuchlin Sugya, not the Bechor, it will never be Memayit, the Chelik HaBechor. Rav Shizbi said, that if we found out that this child was a Zachar before the 8th day, and the 8th day turns out Shabbos, now this child needs a regular Bris Milo, his Milo is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. Rav Shravia said, that the mother of this child will not be Tomei Tomas Leida. Not Tumas Leida of a Zachar, if it was inspired that it was a Zachar, not Tumas Leida of an Akeva, if it was inspired afterwards that it was an Akeva. Zokti Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava said, going back to the original Chiddush, which is our Sugyo Yesh Noichlin, that again, a Tumtum that was Nikra, and it was Nizbarer later that this child was a Zachar. So the Halacha is, it doesn't get Pishnayim. So Rava said, Tani Kavasad Rav Ami, I have a Braisa that supports Rav Ami. So the Braisa says as follows, Ben, where does it say Ben? In the parsha of Pishnayim, Bahoya Habin, that's really what it says, Habichar Lasnia. So from the word Bain we learn, Veloy Tumtum. Okay. Bechar, it says the word Bechar, Bahoya Habin Habichar, Veloy Safik, not a Safik. And from this braisa, you see Tanya Kavase Diravami. Where do you see the Tanya Kavase Diravami? So the Gemara is going to speak it out in the next line. Bishleim Bain Veloy Tumtum, ah, Kidravami. That must be the Chiddush. The Chiddush must be Kidravami. Ela Bechar Veloy Safik, Lafuke Mai. But when we say Bechar Veloy Safik, what is that coming? Lafuke. So this braisa, Al Kapanim, just hit the pause button, even though in the Nigin, right, the Gemara is about to go Vaitu, we're about to ask Akasha. But this is where you see it. What does Ben Veloy Tumtum mean? Oh, Ben Veloy Tumtum is Lafuke Midravami. Now, what do you see from Ben Veloy Tumtum Lafukim Midrabami? Maybe Ben Veloy Tumtum is just that a Tumtum can't be a Bechar. How do you know that it's Lafukim Midrabami? So the Pashup Shad is because if Ravami is incorrect, and Ben Veloy Tumtum means where it's a Safik, if this child is a Zachar in a Keva, it can't get Pishnayim. Well, then you would think it's pshita, right? At the end of the day, and this is going to play itself out in the next Gemara and in tomorrow's stuff. Any time a bechor wants to be noitel pishnayim, really what he wants to do is he wants to be moitzi mamon. And if that's the case, you have to apply Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. You have to apply Shnei Moichs and Betalis, Sumchas and the Chachamim, Zekal Godobadin, Hamoitzi Mechaveri, Oliver Raya. Because really, it's coming to be Moitzi Mamon. So the idea that a Tumtum should be able to get a Pishnayim because of the fact that maybe he's a Zohar really would be a very big Chiddush. And the reason it would be a Chiddush is because it's Hamoitzi Mechaveri, Oliver Raya. So if we're saying Ben Veloy Tumtum, it's Mistaber Tanya Kavasi Diravani, that really, the chiddush over here is that even if later was nisbar that the child is a zocher, and that's the ben v'loy tumtum, it's coming the rabbis this halacha of Ravami. But either way, the Gemara says like this: Bishlam ben v'loy tumtum. Again, the brisa was memai two things: ben v'loy tumtum, b'char v'loy safek. So Bishlam ben v'loy tumtum. Yeah, that's Ravami's halacha. El b'char v'loy safek lafu kemai. What's that coming to be memai? And really, the question is twofold. Number one, what's the case? And number two, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that a safik bechar can't get pishnayim? We just mentioned now, every safik bechar is really a safik moment. So if it's a safik moment, I'm mitzvah mechavei all over. Right, I need a pasuk to tell me that it can't get pishnayim. So the Gemara says, lafuke midadaras Rava. I'll tell you what, it's coming to me tonight. It's coming to me tonight. Something Rava once said. Meaning Rava once said something. I will see. Rava himself was chayzer from what he said. And really, this braisa, this halacha of Bechar V'loy Safek was coming, lafuke, that halacha that Rava had once said. Again, he was chayzer, so Rava has no problem with lafuke midadarash Rava, because Rava himself was chayzer. But Al Kapanon, you want to know what it's coming lafuke? It's coming lafuke, a halacha that Rava once said. The darash Rava, Rava once darshin, shtei noshim sheyoldu beischar and b'machva. There were two women that gave birth to boys, b'machva, and they were in hiding. Now, both of these women were married to the same man, and it was unclear which one of these boys were born first, meaning they were in hiding. So no one knew the Shasaleta. And as a result, this man, who had two wives, who were both expecting a child around the same time, whichever one's going to be born first is going to be the Bechar, but being that the children were born b'machvi, so we don't know now who the Bechar is. And each one of them wants to get the Pishnai. Now, none of them are going to be able to get it. And the reason is because each one is a suffix. I mean, suffix, you can't get Pishnayim. Stating that, Rava said there's an Eitzah. Koisvin harsha zelazeh. What they could do is, they can write a harsha between the two of them. So, the two of them would basically come together, and one of them would give a harsha. Harsha is power of attorney to the other. And he would tell him, listen, could be you're the Bechar, could be I'm the Bechar. Mamon of Shach, we are the Bechar, right? One of the two of us is the Bechar. So let me tell you what you should do. You go to court and you claim that you want the Pishnayim. Let's assume there's 10 other children. So there's a Gros Yerusha that's going to be divided into a whole bunch of different pieces. But the Bechar is going to get the double portion. So the one tells the other, you go and you claim Mamon of Shach. If you're the Bechar, so you're entitled to the Pishnayim. And if you're not the Bechar, well then by definition I'm the Bechar. And if I'm the Bechar, I'm giving you the right to collect on my behalf. They then take the double portion, they split it between the two of them, and like this, they end up getting it. So Rava said that if you have two women that gave birth to two scharim, it was b'machve, if they want to make this Eitzah, koisvin harshala zeh lo zeh, this is something that they are allowed to do. Says the Gemara, you want to know what Bechar v'loy Safek is coming to be tonight, you can't do what Rava just said. Even though Rava's Eitzah sounds like a very reasonable Eitzah, like why not? I mean, it checks off all the boxes, right? If you have a good lawyer, this is what he would advise you to do. But afilu hachi, this is not something that you're allowed to do. In fact, the Gemara is now going to tell us that Rava himself was chayzer from in and a little bit of the background. I'm going to wrap up with Rava. After Rava said this drasha, which we now know is not okay, right? We have a braisa that's lafuke midadarash Rava. But when Rava himself had said it, or a papa told Rava, that how could you say this? Vashalach Rava. Rava sent the following shlich, stavazesh alti l'chol rabbeisai. I asked this question to all my rabbis, v'layomer li davar. And they didn't know. Meaning, I asked them this exact question, where two women gave birth, b'machve, and we're not sure who the Bechar is, could one of them give a harshah to the other, like this Maman of Shach, they'll get the Pishnayim, and they'll divide it amongst themselves. Since then, I asked all my rabbim, they couldn't say a svaras atz. They didn't have an egg in a svara. However, Brom kach amr mishum rabbianai. But they said that even though we don't know, but I'll tell you what we have b'mesoira. We have a Kabbalah from rabbianai who said, hukru l'besoif nesarvu kais v'nashah zelazah. In the event that at some point we knew who the Bechar was, it was just later they were nesarev, so we once knew. But then, b'meshach ha-galus, there was some confusion. I don't know, the babies got confused. So we knew at one point, right, when it was
the initial Mazel Tov, we knew there was the Bechor. And we knew exactly who the child was. But then later it was Nisav, so then you couldn't make this Asha. That's a good Eitzah. But if it was Loi Hukru, nah. So our Papa told us to Rava. That what? That Ravin said, I asked all my Rebbes, they didn't know, but there's a Kabbalah for Rav Yanai, that this works only if it was Hukru L'Besayif Nisarvu. But the other way, it's not going to work. And the Gemara says, when Rava heard what Rav Papa told him in the name of Ravin, who said it in the name of his Rebbes, who had said it in the name of Rav Yanai, he said, oh, I have to be Chayzer. So, Hadar Oiki Rava Amir Alel, he had a spokesman get up on his behalf, the Darash, and he said the following, I speak on behalf of the great Rava. Dvarim Shamarti Lochem, Toz Heim Biyadi. That what I had paskin with regards to the Shtein Noshim, Sheyoldu Beis Chorim B'machvi Kaisushin Arshaz Alvazeh, you should know, I had made a mistake. Brom Kach Amru Mishum Rav Yanai, because you should know, the truth is, that there's a Kabbalah from Rav Yanai, Hukrud B'Soif Nisarvu. If first we knew who the Bechor was, and then there was a Nisarvu Kois Fana Shah Zalazet, like Hukra in Kois Fana Shah Zalazet. And what's the reason? Meaning, what's Pshana Rav Yanai? What's the rest of the story? Oh, it's this Braisa. Bechor Veloy Safik. We have Xeris Akasim. And from Bechor Veloy Safik, we know this halacha. So Ben Veloy Tumtum is Rav Ami's halacha. That's the halacha that we started the daf with. And Bechor Veloy Safik is that in Kois Fana Shah Zalazet. In this case, either way, this really concludes the first part of today's daf. We're now going to begin, make a haschala on the second part of today's daf, which is going to segue into tomorrow's daf, one of the molumdisha from a rate perspective. Sugyas here in Perakei Shnoichem. Sholchu le b'nei Akra da Agma l'shmul. So Akra da Agma was a place. And the members of Akra da Agma, they sent the following telegram to the great Shmuel. Yilamdenu Rabin, please, our master, teach us. What would be if there was a child that everyone knew he's the oldest member of the following family? Everyone knows he's the Bechor. And then one day, the father, it's coming time to write the will, and he has the cheshbon, who's going to get the pishnayim? And he says, oh, you always thought that Pliny is my Bechor. Nah, he's not my Bechor, he's my second child. The other guy, he's really the Bechor. He's a little bigger, maybe he looks like it. He's really the one that's the Bechor. So the father went ahead and he made a whole mapecha. And it's negeya halacha lemaisa, right? It's negeya the pishnayim. So if there was a chazok, that one was the Bechor. And then afterwards, the father went and he said that someone else is the Bechor. Mao, what's the halacha? Meaning, what's the shayla? Is the father believed? There was a father not believed. Now the Rashbam right out of the gate says you have to know one thing. We're talking about where it was muchzok in Shu Bechor. No one knew for sure who the Bechor was. There were no Edim that can testify and say this child is the Bechor. Because if Edim say he's the Bechor, the father has no nemanis kineged Edim to say that no, really it's another child that's the Bechor. It was muchzakim. What does muchzakim mean? I don't know. We've seen this man go to shul with his children, and I don't know. Just seems like this is the Bechor. We're pretty sure that was the first bar mitzvah we went to. There was azak koil that he's the Bechor. There's no Edim. We don't know for sure, but the shmuz in the geselach, in the shtetl, if you ask the man on the street, who's his Bechor, he's going to point to that person. And now the father goes and he says, no, I got news for you, you got it all wrong. He's not the Bechor, the other one is the Bechor, and he's the one that's entitled to the pishnayim. What's that? So again, the Bnei Akra da Agra send this shayla to Shmuel. Sholach Lu, he writes back the following. Koisven harsha zeloze. Wow. It's a suffix. That's basically what he said. And what these two children should do, meaning the one that we thought was the Bechor and the one that the father is now saying is the Bechor, if they want to get that double portion, the Pishnaim, they should do Rava Zeitza, make this patent. They should write a Harsha between the two of them so that whichever one is going to be the one that's going to come to court is going to say, Maman of Shach, I can collect the Pishnaim. Either I'm the Bechor, and if I'm not the Bechor, I have a power of attorney from the other possibility of who the Bechor might be. Maman of Shach, I'm entitled to it, and then you can go ahead and you can divide it. But the Gemara says, Maman of Shach, I don't understand Shmuel's Pesach. Ik Rabbanon Svirule, if Shmuel held like the Rabbanon, the Shachluk Rabbanon, then he should have said that Allah is like the Rabbanon, and Ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirule, and if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, the Shachluk Rabbi Yehuda, he should have said that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who's the Rabbanon and who's Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara's kashas. If that's bothering you, you mechavim to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say it in 1 second. But the Gemara says, So, but Mamaravshach, now we don't know who the Rabbanan is, we don't know who Rabbi Yehuda is, and L'chaira, Shmuel should have paskined other vi Rabbi Yehuda, other vi the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, oh, very simple, Masafkli, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi, he wasn't sure. And being that he wasn't sure, so Misafik, he said, Kois Fenasha, says the Gemara, Mahi, who are the Rabbanan, who's Rabbi Yehuda, that the Gemara felt Shmuel should have paskined, like the Tanya we learned at a Braise, Yaker. It says in the Torah, Yaker. Ki esa b'chor ben hasnua Yaker, losis loy pishnayim. Yaker sounds like the father has the authority to recognize his child as being the Bechar. Now, the context of the pasuk we'll talk a little bit about in the raid and Bez Hashem tomorrow is that if somebody had two wives, Achas Ahuva v'Achas Asnua, v'yodu l'shnei bonim, Ahuva v'Asnua, so the Torah says that whoever is the real Bechar, that's the one that gets the Pishnayim. Meaning, you can't say that I want the Bechar to be from the Ahuva, not from the Snua. Kiesa Bechar ben Asnua Yaker. He's the one you have to recognize, if he's the Bechar, so he's the Bechar. But either way, from the word Yaker, Chazal Darshan, the Rasha. And the reason, by the way, Chazal were able to Darshan from the word Yaker is, says the Rashbam, three lines from the top, because Kro Yaseira. Chazal felt that word Yaker is extra. It's a Kro Yaseira, and there's a basis for a Drasha. And what is the basis for the drasha? Well, the basis is the extra word. What is the drasha? Yakirenu l'acherim. That the father has the right, he has the nemonos to tell other people, you don't know who my Bechar is, well, I'm going to tell you, because I know. And you want to know who my Bechar is? My Bechar is this child. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda. It's from here that Rabbi Yehuda said, Nemon Adam loymar zeh b'ni Bechar. That this one of my sons, he's the Bechar. And he continued, Rabbi Yehuda, saying, Shem Nemon Adam loymar zeh b'ni Bechar. Just like a father has the nemonos to say that this one of my children, I'm my Bechar. He's also neman to say that this son, you should know, he's a chalal. He's a chalal, he's a ben gerusha. And this son, he's a chalal, he's a ben chalal. The chachamim say, enoy neman, that you're not going to be believed. No, there is no such nemanos. Enoy neman, you're not believed. So we have a machloikis over here between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim, whether a father has an nemanos to say zeh b'ni b'char, or he doesn't have an nemanos to say zeh b'ni b'char. Now, one thing is clear, this is very important. That's poshut, that if we have no idea who the Bechar is, there's no Aiden that are telling us who the Bechar is, there's no Koil, there's no Chazak, there's not. We just don't know. This guy just moved to town, he has a bunch of sons, and we have no idea which one is the Bechar. Vadi is going to have an Amonis. No one's going to argue that he has an Amonis. The Machloikis, maybe the Chachamim is when there's some Chiddush over here. When the father, when he says, Zeh b'ni Bechar, he's going against something. Now, going against Aiden, no way, because he wouldn't be believed. Oh, it's mamish the case of the B'nai Akrida Agma, that they sent Shmuel, where there's a coil of some sort, there's a chazaka that Ploini is the Bechar, and now the father is saying somebody else. So Rabbi Yehuda said from the word Yaakov, we learn Neman Adam Lema Zebani Bechar. The Chachamim said no, that he's not going to have this Nemanos. The bottom line is, we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether he has a Nemanos or he doesn't have a Nemanos. That was the Gemara's Kasha. So again, the Bnei Akra, the Agma, they sent to Shmuel, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Hoyu Muchsakim Azeshu Bechar. And then the father said, someone else is the Bechar. Ma, what's the halacha? And what did Shmuel send back? He sent back this funny psak. He said they should write a harsha like this, they'll divide the Pishnayim. Faith the Gemara, man of Shach. Iker Rabbanon. If he feels like the Rabbanon, that the father's not Nemon, Kineged the Koil, then Lishlach Luke Rabbanon. He should have sent that the halacha is like the Rabbanon. And if he held that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that from the word Yaakov, we learned that he is Neman, then Lishlach Luke Rabbi Yehuda. What was the Gemara's teretz? Mesafkele. He was Mesafik. He wasn't sure if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, if the halacha is like the Rabbanon. I mean that he had a Safik. Whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, or whether the halacha is like the Rabbanon, it's for that reason that he paskined the way he paskined, and we are going to stop now in the middle of this Gemara. The reason is because, really, this sugi is going to go into tomorrow's daf with some real yeshiva shereitz. If that's Hashem, we're going to pick this up tomorrow. But as it relates to raid for today's daf, just two ha'aras, and really two very interesting shailas that the meshivim of the 19th century, and in some cases even the 18th century, already discussed, that there seems to be a little bit of a remnant to maybe from our daf. So today's daf, until the last 10 minutes or so, I would say it was rather technical from a pure Yesh Neuchlin perspective, right? We're talking about halachas of a tumtum, where it was nikra, or shtei noshim b'machve, where we're not sure who's the rightful bechar. But as we're about to see, really, the daf has in it a little bit of a raglayim ledavar to two fascinating shaylas that the poskim talked about. The first shayla is as follows. Let's say somebody dies. He leaves over one son. So obviously the son is going to yashin everything. He's a ben yachid, or if he has sisters, it doesn't matter, right? As long as there's a son, that one son is going to yashin everything. That one son, assuming he's the oldest. In the case of ben yachid, he's the only son in town. If he has sisters, he was the oldest. He's also the Bechar. When he yarshins the entire Nachla, does he yarshin the entire Nachla b'toiras Pashut? Or do we say that being that he was anyways the Bechar, so when he yarshins the entire Nachla, he's going to get part of it b'toiras Pashut, but also part of it b'toiras Bechar? Is there a pishnayim when you're yarshining the entire Yerusha? Or is there no pishnayim when you're yarshining the entire Yerusha? What's pishnayim? Pishnayim is a man dies, leaves over two sons, three sons, five sons, 10 sons. So what we do is we have to divide the estate. So we divide the estate not into three, if he had three sons, but into four. And then the Bechar ends up getting a double portion. That is what pishnayim is. But if there's one son, you're not dividing the estate. If you're not dividing the estate, so that one son gets the whole thing. Without a question, that's the way mechanically it's going to play itself out. In terms of the flow of funds, that's how it happens. The question is in the lumdus of it. Do we say that being that at the end of the day, this child is the Bechar, so maybe the gather of how exactly this Yerusha is going to be disseminated, it's all to the same person, but the way it plays itself out mechanically is that there's going to be a Chelek HaBechar and there's going to be a Chelek HaPashut. So, Kana Ben Shoyel, my Nafkamino, what difference does it make? He's getting all the money, that's the only thing I'm pretty sure he cares about, right? So at the end of the day, as long as he's getting all the money, call me whatever you want to call me, right? L'may Nafkamino. So I'll tell you something very interesting. It was a fascinating tumult, and this happened in the 18th century, the Cheshbon, which century we're holding it. This happened in the 18th century, and it's in a tshuva from the great Goyen, the Shfus Yaakov. So it's in Chelek Gimel, it's in Simen Kuf Ayin Dalet. So we're going to get into this, Ezus Hashem, in the next few dafin. But we know that Midday Raisa, if a man dies, leaves over sons and daughters, so the daughters don't yarshin. Then Ben Enloi, Tavartim's Nachalos Elibita. But to the extent that a person dies and he leaves over a son, the daughter doesn't get anything. Stating that, the Minhag Yisrael is, in many krisen, that we try to find a way for daughters to yarshin, even b'makom haben. How do you do that? You're violating a principle in the Torah. In fact, we'll see the Gemara says that it's a very, very chomerdig thing to be maver nachla. So it's based on a contract that's written that sort of circumvents the basic laws of Nachlois. It's what's known as a shtar chatzi zachar. That's the name of the shtar. So similar to a heter iska, which circumvents to a degree the laws of ribbis, using the word circumvent very, very loosely, a shtar chatzi zachar circumvents, again, using that word loosely, the basic halachas of Nachlois. And if a woman, a girl, a daughter has a shtar chatzi zachar, that gives her a right to be able to yarshin. So if someone's doing kosher estate planning, there is very likely going to be what's known as a shtar chatzi zachar in his file of documents that he's going to end up signing. Right? It's the equivalent of the iska. Now, why was it called a shtar chatzi zachar? So there's a Tshuva Chacham Sofer about this, and there's a Reidite from the last Machzor where we talked about this. Maybe we'll do it again, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, the Pashup Shad is because the Minhag Yisrael was, is they would give the Nekeva Chatzi of what the Zohar used to get. So whatever the Zohar was going to be entitled to, they would give the Nekeva Chatzi. The Chacham Sofer says a Davar Nifla. The Chacham Sofer says that the reason he believes the Minhag Yisrael was to do it that way is because even though there was a sensitivity that the Bonois should be able to Yarshin, but at the same time, we didn't want them to yarshin equal to what the son was getting, because the Torah says that to the extent that there's a son, that the daughter's not supposed to get anything. So we don't want to violate the spirit of the laws of Nachla. So we still want to give the boy more than the girl. Okay, so why does the girl get half of what the boy is supposed to get? So the Chacham Sofer said, because there's a precedent already that a better Yerush gets double what the lesser Yerush gets. What's the precedent? Bechar. The Bechar gets Pishnayim. So in the spirit of the Bechar getting Pishnayim, even though we're making the shtar to give the nekeva a little bit, but it's going to be a chatzi zacha. She's going to end up getting half of what the zacha was supposed to get. Either way, there was a maisa shaya kachaya where somebody had written a tzava with a shtar chatzi zacha that he wants his daughter to get half of the chelik of the zacha. But this is what was unique about this story. This man had one son and he had one daughter. And the shtar said that the daughter should get chatzi of what the zachar pashut is going to get. And as a result, there was a little bit of a tumult. The son quickly went and he hired a lawyer. And the lawyer went running, Toyin, to Beis Din. And he said that, I understand my father wrote a shtar chatzi zachar, but at the same time, I don't think that my sister should get half of what I'm getting. I think that my sister should get 20% of what I'm getting. I think my sister should get half of what I'm getting. And the reason that that's the way it should be is because, look at the shtar. The shtar says you get chatzi of a zachar pashut. So he said like this, I'm the only son, I'm the older of the two of us, which means I'm the bechar. If I'm the bechar, that means my Yerusha, my chelik, is really divided into two parts. There's the chelik ha-poshut, and then there's the pishnayim, there's the chelik ha-bechar. The shtar chatzi zachar said chatzi of the poshut. So it should be half of my chelik ha-poshut. It shouldn't be half of what I'm getting. It should be half of the chelik ha-poshut. Meaning, poshut, the way any layman would read the shtar is, oh, the man left over a son, he left over a daughter. He wrote a shtar chatzi zachar, which means he wants his son to get double whatever she's going to get. So it sounds like they have something to fight over. So let's work with, even numbers. If the guy left over $9 million, so he's going to get $6 million, she's going to get $3 million, right? That's what it sounds like is going on over here. He should end up getting double. But he said, no, I don't think that's the way it should be. Because it says chatzi of the zachar pashut. So my chelik is really made up of two parts. And it's made up of the pashut chelik. It's made up of the bechar chelik. So what you should do is you should take chatzi of the pashut chelik. So the bechar chelik I should get. Meaning take mine, divide into two. Half of it I for sure should get. And she should take half of my other half, which basically would mean she'd get 20% of the Yerusha. Because you would take the entire Yerusha, you would divide it into five parts, right? He would take two, that's his Chelek HaBachar. Then he would take the other two, which is his Chelek HaPasha, and she's taking half of the Chelek HaPasha, which is that fifth Chelek. So you're not dividing it into three and giving her one Chelek, you should divide it into five and give her one Chelek. And this was the Shaila, and this Shaila was sent to the Dayan HaMumcha HaMafursen B'Shmoy, Reb Tzvi Hirsch ben Reb Binyamin mi Berlin. By the way, this should not be confused with the famous, he was also famous, but famous in our Radbites, Reb Tzvi Hirsch mi Berlin, who was Reb Shaul Berlin's father, who was the Chaim Tzvi's grandson, who was the Binyan Ariel's brother, who was a Mishpacha with the Nei Debi Yehuda. We've mentioned him in several Radbites over the years, Be'ezus Hashem. But the bottom line is, the Shaila was brought to this Yid, and this Yid went, and he said that, nah, I think this Bechar is getting a little carried away, and I think it's Pashit that what the father meant to do was to give his daughter, what every shtar chatzi zachar basically gives the daughter, which is chatzi of what the zachar is gaining. He's the zachar, she's going to get half. You take the Yerushi, divide it nine to five parts into three parts. He gets two thirds, she gets one third, so that her chelik represents half of the zachar. And that's the way this is supposed to be disseminated. I had said the chelik ha-pasha. So he said a few things. He said, number one, when a person gives a matana, we know noisim matana is ba'in yofa noisim. Right? We went through the sugyas bi'iyun when we learned chesk sabbatim. So being that when a person gives a matana, he always gives a ba'in yofa. So you assume for sure he meant to give her more, right? What she's getting is b'matana. The shtar chatzi zachar is a matana, it's a gift. And if it's a gift, it works ba'in yofa. He says, not just that, I know this son, he's a groisa gvir. Why is he fighting over Yerusha kasha v'maisa? But this guy is a groisa gvir. And because he's a groisa gvir, the father knew he didn't really need the money so much. So for sure, the umdana is that the father meant to give a little bit more to the daughter, not a little bit less to the daughter. So if there's a suffix over here, it's for sure what he probably meant to do. He said, not just that, there's something called shufr d'shtara. What does shufr d'shtara mean? Right? There's certain verbiage that's put into shtaras that I'm not meant to be taken so literally. So why are they there? It makes the shtar a little bit nicer, a little wordier. Right? Lawyers, they'll say things, they'll say it again, and then they'll say it's in dritimul. There's a concept of shufr d'shtara, which
means that not every word is meant to be taken so literally. So even though it says chatzi of the pashut, avadin, the father meant whatever shtar chatzi zocher is, and you should give her half of whatever the regular shtar is going to be. He said, not just that. He said, I'm pretty confident that the sofer that wrote the shtar on behalf of the father, he probably took the nusach hashtar from the Nachla Shiva. So the Nachla Shiva, we know, was the sefer, and is the sefer, Adayir Mazer, where all nusach hashtaros come from. We spoke about the Nachla Shiva by Riches when we did the Ksuba raid by. Really, that whole raid by was based on the Nachla Shiva. And the Nachla Shiva was the authority of Talmud, of the Taz, Vadvar Matikin. So he said, I'm pretty sure that he took the shtar from the Nachla Shiva and he cut and paste. His lashon is, Elevadei asofer kosvei kach mitoch sefer Nachla Shiva, b'li kavano. He like literally, you know, sometimes you cut and paste and you make a little bit of a mistake. Oops, that was from a previous document, right? So the bottom line is that this is a little bit of an oops. But Avadi didn't mean the poshut, because we're handling over here. He said, not just that, there's a halach in Hilchos Shtaros, Yad Balashtar ala al Yoino. So if there's ever a dispute, there's a Safik Momin, and you want to know who's right, the Teve or the Nitva, Yad Balashtar ala al Yoino. She has the Shtar Chatzi Zocher, and she's the one on the al Yoino. And he went, and he said, Taina after Taina, but here's the punchline. Then he said, but besides, I don't know what this guy's talking about. What's Hakter Akop? He's saying that Chelik of the Poshut, and therefore we take his Yerusha, we divide it into two parts, and we take the Chelik Abachar, and we take the Chelik What are you? You're the only son. And if you're the only son, Mitzan Hilchas Yerusha, you get everything. And if you get everything, there's no Poshut and Bechar. All there is the Chelik HaPoshut. The whole Mitzius of the Bechar getting the Pishnaim is when there's another brother. So you're getting double of that other person. But over here, there is no other person. And being that there's no other person, you're the only game in town. Savado, this is only Negei you. And if this is only Negei you, so Fashteitzach, there's no double. If there's no double, you are a pashut. You're a bechar, but you're a pashut as it relates to stop pashut the bechar. That's what it is. And if that's the case, you're going to get like a pashut. You're not going to get like a bechar. And therefore, he said, there's no question in the world. Chatzi of the pashut means chatzi of everything. Meaning the first six tainas are that I'm willing to entertain there's a chelik a bechar, there's a chelik a pashut, and the chatzi is going to be not only of the chelik a pashut, it's really a chatzi of everything. Hagam it said pashut. The seventh taina was there is no Bechar and Pashut. The Gansi Yerusha is a Yerusha's Pashut. The only time there's a Bechar and Pashut is when there's other brothers. But if there's no other brothers, where's it going to be? Fast the time. Now, what does that have to do with our Sugya? What does that have to do with our Sugya? So he said, Echabar Raya. Echabar Raya. What's my Raya? My Raya is, it's always Gishmak when you see big Goinim. Look at Perik Yesh Neuchlin, right? We go through it so fast. It's Kechaloyim Yo'of. But when you go through the whole Perik with the Rishonim and the Poiskim and you try to like bring a Raya to this super academic, it's like a real Michas Chinuch type of Hakira, right? Such a Hakira. Like, where are you going to find a Raya? So you say, I have a Raya. You know what my Raya is? From a Rashbam. Okay, where's the Rashbam? Yesh Neuchlin. That we could have guessed. What daf? Kuf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph. Which Rashbam? The top Rashbam. Which sugya? The sugya of tumtum. Fashnetim, the sugya of tumtum. Amemar Amar, Amemar said, if somebody gives birth to a tumtum, and then it was nikra, and we find that afterwards this child was a zachar. Af enei memayit chelik b'chayra. The halacha is that this tumtum is not going to be memayit the chelik ha-b'chayra. What was the case? So Hashmam said the case was as follows. This case was where a person gave birth to three children. He had three sons. He had a b'char, he had a pashut, and he had a tumtum. Ordinarily, now that the tumtum was inspired that he's a zacher, what you would do is, you would take this Yerusha and divide it not into three, into four, because he has a bechar, give two of those chalakim to the bechar, and then the pashan and the tumtum would get one of the other two, respectively, so that the bechar would get half. Right, the Rashbam's case was where there was nine manim. So the Bechar would get half of the nine manim, right? Because he gets two of the four chalakim, which is four and a half. And then the two other brothers, the Tumtum and the Pashut, would get two and a quarter each. Because Hameimar said, Af inim amayit chelik Bechar. So as it relates to the chelik ha-Bechar of the Bechar's Yerusha, we act as if there's only two sons. There's not three sons. If there were two sons, we would divide Yerusha not into four, but we would divide it into three. Why three if there's two sons? Because there's a pishnaim over here for the Bechar. The Chelik HaBechar would then represent one third, which is three. We give that to the Bechar off the top. And then the balance
9 minus 3 is 6. We divide tak into 3, right? Because it's only the chilek ha-bechor of the bechor, not the chilek ha-pachor of the bechor. So he ends up getting 3 plus 2, he gets 5. So instead of getting 4 and a half, he gets 5. So this yid, Reb Tzvi Hersh ben Rabbi Yamin mi Berlin, Sifsois of Yehuda Vois Bekever. So he tied it in this Shaila to the Shvuz Yaakov and this Grace of Tshuva. So he said that why did the Rashbam have to make this case more confusing than it anyways is? Why did he have to say that it was Negeya, a case where there were three sons? Why couldn't it just be Negeya, a case where there were two sons? Why do you need a third son? Right? A Bechar, a Pashat, and a Tumtum. Why couldn't it just be a Bechar and a Tumtum? The Pashat is not adding anything. It's just another person and with his hand out, trying to get a few shekels out of this Yerusha, right? But he's not really doing anything to the story. The story could have been identical with there only being two sons. What would be if there was only two sons? If there was only two sons, so then what you would do is, you would say that as it relates to the Bechaira, we don't see two sons, what we see is one son. So if we see is one son, we take half of the Yerusha, it's the Chelek HaPashat. The other half of the Yerusha is the Chelek HaBechar. We give that half of Yerusha, which is the Chelek HaBechar, to the Bechar. That's 4.5. And then the other 4.5, we divide into two, because now already there's two brothers. There's the Chelek HaPashat of the Bechar, and there's the Tumtum, who is now Nimtza Zachar. So we know he's going to Yarshin, right? Even a Memer holds Yarshin, so he just is not Memay from the Chelek HaBechar. 4.5 divided by 2 is 2.25, so that the Bechar is going to end up getting 4.5 plus 2.25, he's going to get 6.75. As opposed to what? As opposed to if you treated this Tumtum like a regular Zachar, so then the initial Yerusha would be divided right out of the gate into three, and you would give two chalakim to the Bechar, which means he would get not 6.75, he would get 2/3 of 9, which means he would get 6. He would end up getting 6. It's the same exact halacha. It's the identical halacha. So this yid, Reb Tzvi Hersh ben Rabbi Yamin Berlin, said that why did the Rashbam need a third son? What do you need the Pashat for? Just say it's talking about where there were two sons and you'd have the same exact halacha. So he said, because the Rashbam held that if all you would have is one son, if there's one son, there's no Chelek HaBechor and there's no Chelek HaPashat. So what do you want? You want that the Tumtum is not considered a son, Klape, the Pishnayim. As a result, I get a guaranteed 4.5. You don't get a guaranteed anything. Because to the extent that there's no other son, all there is a Chelek HaPashat. So this whole drasha of the Hoya Ben HaBechor V'yodu Loibonim is not Negei B'chlal. It's not applicable. It's a Fank Nishtan. So if it's a Fank Nishtan, so your Chiddush Lalach is not going to play itself out. So he needed a case where Mamon of Shacht is another brother. If Mamon of Shacht is another brother, so now there's Vaday Pishnayim. The only question is, how do you Cheshmet the Pishnayim? Do you divide it into 4? Do you divide it into 3? That's a Meimas Chiddush, that the Tumtum doesn't come into consideration. But as it relates to this case where all there is the Bechar, so then there's no Pishnaim at all. If there's no Pishnaim at all, you're not dividing the Pishnaim. There is no such thing. So if there's no such thing, so what do you have? You basically have these two sons and you have to figure out how you're going to divide it. But the bottom line is this Cheshbin of take the Pishnaim off the top as if there is no Tumtum is not true. Because on the tzad, there's no Tumtum, there is no Pishnayim. So this was his grace arayis. So from the fact that the Rashbam added a third child into the story, and he didn't simply tell the story with only two children. So he said, this is a grace arayis, Lanias Daiti. This is a grace arayis to that side. Either way, the Shaila was sent to the Shvus Yaakov. This was the Shaila. The Yid himself, Rabbi Tzvi Hersh, Rabbi Yomi Berlin, he asked the Shvus Yaakov, he wanted to know what he thought on this topic. So he writes back to him like this. He said, I went and I discussed this with different Goyne Yisrael, and he said, it was discussed with Rav David Oppenheim, he was the of Bezin of Prague, it was discussed with Rav Naftali Katz, he's the Baal Smichas Chachamim, he said it was discussed with the Yid Rav Hershmi Halberstadt, and he says Lamaisa, they all held not like this diet. They all held that really the Bechor is right. And if he said chatzi of the chelik ha-poshut, so it's only chatzi of that chelik that's going to end up going to the nekeva, it's not going to be chatzi of the entire Yerusha. I, this whole arichas over here, this raya from the Rashbam. So he has a whole tshuva where he's doicha this raya from the Rashbam. But the mamish is a shmooze. It's offenard. It's kriching into this Rashbam here. Either way, I see it got late early, so we'll save the next star in Metzchem for another day later this week. But either way, just a geshmaka chakira, and that is that we know the halacha of a bechar who's noital pishnayim. What if there's only a bechar? There's a ben yachid. There is nobody else. Is his yerusha made up of two components? It's made up of a chelik ha-poshut and a chelik ha-bechar, or is it not made up? Just one thing I actually think is worth mentioning, and that is that, you know, my muscha rishon, when I saw the shiloh was, I thought of a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says in Parsha Shmois, it says, v'amarta el paroi, right in the beginning of Parsha Shmois, Hashem tells Moshe, v'amarta el paroi, koi omar Hashem, b'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Right, b'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is the b'char. Klai Yisrael is the b'char. Klai Yisrael is the only game in town. Right? Bonim atem l'Hashem aleikechem. Klal Yisrael is the Bechar. So it's mashma a little bit, that even if there are no other siblings, Abba l'maisa b'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Right? Bis nochal is the Bechar. I looked around in the Rishonim a little bit. The Chizkuni, on this pasuk, listen to what he says. He says, Dover Nifla. He says, b'ni b'chayri Yisrael, kol ha'umais banayim. This is what the Chizkuni says. All of the umais are banayim. This is like such a big chiddush. I don't know if they have the ben kach nekru banim, but kolo umay is banayim. Avo Yisrael chavivim lefana yoisim mikulam vehem abechar. And they're the bechar. So the Chizkuni mamish makes this dik. He says, b'ni bechari Yisrael, doesn't the word bechar imply that there are other sons as well? It's not the Chizkuni, it does. Kolo umay is banayim, avo Yisrael chavivim lefana yoisim. But the emes is a toys. Because that's poshet, right? That's poshet, that there's something called a bechar, even if a person doesn't have any other children. Or if somebody has one son, Chaim Pidyon HaBen, Lasud Lavoi, that Chaim HaKadosh brings Kiyodua, that the bechayrim are going to do the Avoid again in the Beis HaMikdash. If someone has only one son, is there a Shai as a Ben Yochid? Is there a shaila that child is going to do the avoid? Of course he's going to do the avoid. The shaila is not whether or not a Ben Yochid is a Bechar. Of course a Ben Yochid is a Bechar. Klal Yisrael could be a Ben Yochid, not like the Chizkuni. And afilu hachi b'ni Bechayri Yisrael, right? Afilu hachi b'ni Bechayri Yisrael. Avada, there's a Shem Bechar. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is in the Yerusha Pishnayim. Because what is Pishnayim? Pishnayim, the Chefs of the Pishnayim is that I get W. If there's two Yarshim over here, you get, but if there's no U, then there's no W. Right, that's the whole point. The whole word is pishnayim of what? It's double. Double means that someone's getting a single, and you're getting the double. That's what the pishnayim is. The shaila is not whether the child is a bechar. That's a mistake. Avada, that's a mistake. A bechar is a toyar. You could be a ben yochid and you're a bechar. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Klal Yisrael, it's not just bonim atem l'Hashem aleichem. It's not just chavivin Yisrael shenikru bonim. It's b'ni bechar Yisrael. It's mamish b'ni b'chayr Yisrael. They're on the level of b'char. But of course, not to necessarily. And look, the Chizkuni is saying a chiddush. Kalu umay is banayim. Av Yisrael chavivin lefanay b'yoyser. But the bottom line is that avada, this whole chakir over here that we're discussing in the Paiskim, this chakir is negay the pishnayim. The loss is like pishnayim would have to suggest it's double from somebody else. If there's nobody else, then you wouldn't have a pishnayim.